I am to worship. Remembering thee, Lord. Remembering thee, Lord. I'm satisfied. We don't have that. I'm satisfied. My lips shall praise thee.
My lips shall praise thee. Shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name.
We only have two things tonight, so far I just have two things tonight. Do you have something?
Nope.
Okay, so Laurel had sent me a message, and she has a reading for us, and then Sandra has a reading for us as well tonight.
I mean, we all know this story about the lost sheep, but I just love this. There's something about the story of the lost sheep that becomes almost overwhelming once you truly see it. Jesus says a shepherd leaves the 99 to go after one sheep that's wandered away. Most people picture this as soft and gentle, a clean little lamb carried peacefully home. But that is not the reality Jesus was describing. Lost sheep are filthy. They fall into mud. They get tangled in thorns. They become covered in dirt and sweat and their own mess. And the longer they are lost, the worse it gets. A sheep cannot rescue itself. Once trapped, exhausted, or injured, it becomes completely dependent on the shepherd to come find it. This is humanity. Scripture says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. Every person has wandered. Every person has become stuck in places they could not escape on their own. And this is where the story becomes breathtaking. When the shepherd finds the sheep, he does not punish it. He does not lecture it. He does not force it to clean itself first. He lifts it. Jesus says the shepherd places the sheep on his shoulders and carries it home rejoicing. Think about that image carefully. The dirtiest parts of the sheep would rest against the shepherd's neck and face, the mud, the smell, the filth, the weight. The shepherd willingly carries all of it. And that is exactly what Jesus did at the cross. He did not save humanity from a distance. He stepped directly into the mess. The shame people try to hide, the guilt people cannot erase, the weight people were never meant to carry alone. Jesus took it upon himself willingly. Scripture says he became sin for us so we could become the righteousness of God in him. The shepherd carried the sheep. The holy carried the unclean. The spotless carried the stained. The sinless carried the sinful. And he did not do it reluctantly. He rejoiced. That may be the most beautiful part of the entire parable. Jesus is not a scribe, the shepherd, dragging the sheep home in frustration, joy, love. The shepherd is glad to carry what the sheep could not. Religion says, clean yourself up, then come back. Jesus says, I will carry you home myself. Religion says, your mess disqualifies you. Jesus said, your need is exactly why he came. This is the gospel. You are not saved because you stayed clean. You are saved because the shepherd came for you. You are not held together by your strength. You are held by his shoulders. And maybe someone reading this needed to hear this today.
So I went to the library here in town, and I was checking out a book, and I checked out a couple of books, and I didn't pay any attention. I was just looking at the name, and I thought maybe that was something that I would like to read. And when I got home, I realized it was by a woman that lives here in this town. Her name is Jeremy Harnack, and she goes to one of the churches here in town, and her book is Transformation. And the verse that goes with her poem is this: "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, 6b. And this is the poem she wrote. "Prince of Peace, the handsome window salesman on my living room chair had turned out to be a pastor. He spoke of God in a way I had not heard of before, and I heard him say, 'He wants to give you peace.' It hit home. Peace was what I needed. It was the missing piece. I couldn't believe I'd gone so long never realizing what it was I needed. If knowing Jesus could bring me peace, what more could I ever ask? The hunger, the need was so great. I took the bait. I was hooked. You reeled me into shore. And when I landed in your hands, you gave me that peace and so much more. How can I thank the fisherman for being the Prince of Peace?"
Okay, he set me free. You ready?
Well, no freedom from my sorrow I fell, but Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not all the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. Glory to God, I'm going through.
He set me free,
yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free.
Just a closer walk with thee.
If I fall shelter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burdens shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. With thee, granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee.
For Jesus, but you can sit if you want to. You can stand up. It's okay. You don't have to stand up if you don't want to, but you can if you want to. Yeah. I have four verses on this one. What about you? Okay, awesome.
Stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the solemn watchword here. If while he sleeps he suffers, away with shame and fear. He with the King of Glory.
want to share just a little bit tonight. We had a few less people because of different things going on, and so we didn't quite have as many songs. So the way I want you to look at this is, if you want to hear less of me next fifth Sunday, sing more. Okay? No, just kidding. But as I think about what the message was this morning, about how the part that God laid on my heart is we need to share the gospel more, I got to two parables this afternoon, and I want to read them. They're short parables. They're in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read them both. They go together, but they are two separate parables. And it starts in verse 31. It says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." Let's pray. Father God, take your word right now as we take this short time to just lift it up and open it and just pray that you'd speak to us in a way, Lord, that would impact us for you. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. As I read these parables, they're both talking about the kingdom of heaven, but we need to understand what the context as Jesus is saying this. He's talking to his disciples, and he always talked to everybody in parables because some of them did not understand. They refused to accept the fact that he was the Messiah, and so therefore they were not going to understand the parables. But anybody that had believed who he was given the opportunity to share with them what these parables meant. And so he wants us to understand what these parables mean because we have accepted him. But this first one, when he talks about the mustard seed, we know that he talks in the Bible about how if someone has the faith of a mustard seed, then that's all they need. And it's the smallest seed. But he's also in this parable talking about that small mustard seed compared to faith in Christ and the kingdom of God. It started out so small. Even the Jews rejected him, but eventually people began to believe. And we read in Acts how there's 3,000 and then there's 5,000, and then they quit taking count, and we know that it grew from those 12 to over 5,000, just the men. And so if we look at that as a mustard seed, that 12 is that tiny mustard seed of all those people. And it grew to thousands because it was planted. And how was it planted? But Jesus says that a seed, unless it's put in the ground and it dies, it will never grow and produce. What happened to all of the disciples? They all died. They gave their life for Jesus Christ. And so the seed that was planted in their faith ended up growing to thousands and thousands and even across the world today. And so even though there are thousands and thousands across the world today, let's just stop and let's narrow down to just Stockton. We don't know how many there are in Stockton, but we know that it's not completely covered. But if we will take and give our life to Jesus Christ, surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And maybe I'm that small mustard seed. Maybe you're that small mustard seed. And if we will just give our life over to Christ, surrender it to Him, allow Him, He will take that one small seed of our lives, of our church, whatever it happens to be, and He will take it, and it will go from the smallest seed, which seems like it's nothing, to something that is reaching the ends of the earth. But there's something else in this parable I want us to understand. It's often overlooked. I had overlooked it until this afternoon. 30 plus years in the ministry, and I'm not sure how much being a Christian before that. But it says, when it talks about this seed, when it is grown, it is greater than herbs, and because it becomes a tree. But I want to focus on that herbs, because the mustard seed was so powerful. Just the taste of that mustard seed was so strong. They could take that little mustard seed and put it in food, and it would change the whole dish. Don't lose the fact of that in this parable. One little taste of something so powerful can change everything. But you know, a lot of people don't like mustard. I'm one of those people. I made my choice. My wife likes mustard. My kids like mustard. I made my choice. There are people out there that are not going to like that seed in you. But that doesn't mean we don't give them that option, because that seed is powerful, and we need to give it to them. Let's go on to that second parable. And it says, and he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. Three measures of meal, or three pecks is what some translations say, was enough to feed anywhere from 125 to 150 people. That's a lot of dough, basically, to feed that many people. That's what that's saying. And so if you stop and think, just a little bit of yeast put into enough dough to feed 150 people, it just takes very little to affect it. And it grows, and before you know it, it's in the whole dough. It's in all the dough, all of the three pecks, all the three measures. That little bit of yeast is worked into all of it. And what does it do to that whole amount? It changes everything. And it goes from that lump that doesn't seem real useful in that sense, and until you add that yeast, and then it changes everything. And it expands, and before you know it, it's enough to feed 150 people, that little lump. We need to understand that what Jesus Christ has put in us, what He has worked into our hearts, what He has placed into our hearts through His love, His mercy, and His grace, when we allow Him to work that into our lives, and then our lives are worked into the lives of those around us, it will begin to change enough for everybody. And so as we look at those two parables, I want us to understand that it's talking about how the gospel of Jesus Christ that starts out in maybe one person or in a small group or what seems like is not enough but is very powerful and it changes everything, it's also the symbol of when the gospel was first given, it reached a small group. But one day, it's going to cover this world. It's enough. What He has shared, His love, His mercy, and His grace through the gospel of His salvation is enough to cover the earth. But He has us to plant that seed that He's planted in us, for us to be planted. And He's put it into us, that leaven, to where it is needed into our life, where it's changed your life, it's changed my life. And then He wants to knead our life into those lives around us. Because one of these days, when He comes back, it's going to expand and it's going to cover the world. But why wait when there are people that need Him right now? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, and I just thank You for the opportunity to share it. Lord, may we be everything You desire us to be. Lord, place us where You want us. Equip us to do what You've called us to do. And we'll give You the glory forever. May it always and forever and only be about You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.